Hunting Nellie Walker by J.J. Whittaker. Solomon yawned and stretched his arms above his head on the damp sand. There was no need to open his eyes and spoil the moment. He knew where he was and who was with him. He reached his right hand across to touch Nellie, sleeping by his side. Nothing. His lips twitched into a half smile. She'd changed sides. He tried the left. Again, nothing. Slightly alarmed, but pretending otherwise, he kept his eyes shut, inhaled the smell of the Indian Ocean, and folded his arms. Perhaps she was strolling on the beach, deep in thought as she'd been a lot lately. He didn't mind the fact that she kept her own counsel. He admired that she wasn't one of those women who wept at the slightest emotional provocation. His rock. Not that she lacked a passionate side. He had no complaints there. It was just that Nellie knew when to shut up, which, let's face it, was unusual for a woman. He was a lucky man, no doubt about it. Truly, there was nothing to worry about. He tried to doze again until she returned, because whatever happened, she always did. Several minutes passed, and slowly he became aware that the air around him was getting colder, not warmer. That can't be right. They had arrived just before sunrise, and he'd only taken a short nap. No one could sleep out in the Australian Open, not all day. But something told him if he opened his eyes, he wouldn't like what he saw. Don't be dramatic, he chided himself. All the same, he kept them closed. There was a painless pounding sensation on the right side of his head. Ignore it, he told himself. Nellie, my love? Solomon called as calmly and as kindly as his impatience would allow. When all that answered back was the sound of mild-mannered waves, he felt obliged to sit up and take a look around. He soon wished he hadn't. As suspected, the sky was turning red, a flamboyant sunset so commonplace in this part of the world that it had got to be annoying. The image was out of focus. He blinked. Once, twice, but it was still blurred. The cornea of his right eye was covered in a diesel-like substance. He put a hand up to investigate, and it came down burgundy-covered. Now he gave himself permission to panic.
Oh, Christ! Nellie! Where are you? I'm hurt! Nellie! Are you okay?
He yelled out, scanning the area with his one good eye. Nothing. No one. This was not unusual. People didn't come to Biter's Inlet on account of the horseflies, but Nellie and Solomon loved it for the isolation it offered. This was their private oasis. 20 minutes' drive from the fibrous, stinking sheep farm, now temporary film set, that they'd been stuck in for almost a month. The secluded beach was vastly preferable to their meat locker excuse for a trailer. How he hated this backwater paradise. And just when they were getting out tomorrow, this had to happen. What has happened?
Nellie, this isn't funny. Where are you? I need a doctor.
In frustration, he ran his fingers through his thick black hair and found a raised 2-inch cut above the temple. No pain. Odd. Alone.
Walker, get your backside over here!
Authority, normally so apparent in his tone, scuttled away like a frightened crab heading towards the surf. It had been her idea to come. He wanted to stay in London making script amendments via email, but she had argued that the outback location was too remote, that he would lose control, and even the phone lines would be unstable. She'd dangled these anxieties in front of his possessive mind, knowing how he would react. Even in his desperate state, he felt a pang of fury that she'd tricked him in order to feed her hunger for adventure. Still, he'd more than punished her. He knew that. In fact, he'd been a pain in the arse over here. But who wouldn't be in such heat, surrounded by bleating sheep and moronic shearers? Maybe he'd pissed the director off one too many times. Maybe this was a hit, because he told the guy he should go back to Norway and take his Oscar with him, seeing as he couldn't direct for shit. A little harsh, but no reason to smash a man's skull in, was it? Calm down. Stay calm. As the sun finished its scorching performance and bowed slowly towards the cobalt waters, a dark fantasy of her drowning surfaced in his mind. The pounding in his head became louder, and a whimper of fear rose in his throat. He covered it with a vigorous cough. He brought his jeaned knees up to his chest, and instantly all pretense of control disintegrated at the sight of his mauled right calf. He started to howl, not in pain, but in abject fear of having felt nothing at all. He gave in to his terror, rolled over and flopped face down onto the sand. The howling stopped when Solomon caught sight of two camel-coloured brogues in his eyeline. They looked as if they belonged to the feet of a dapper stockbroker, but as he craned his head back to look above the shoes, he saw something more appalling than his mutilated leg.
"Wild dogs," explained the stocky stranger.
He looked like he'd been in some kind of an accident. His sharp suit was torn at the knees and his face was covered in soot or oil, maybe. He also seemed to be having trouble straightening his bald head.
"Me and a couple of locals scared him off for you, eventually."
"Dogs? Dogs? Dagos, dingoes, whatever you want to call them out here. Yep, don't worry though, they won't be coming back. They're not interested in you anymore."
Even though the man was the only other person on the beach, Solomon sensed that it was safer to go it alone than to ask him for help. He sat up and tried not to make more eye contact in the hope the man would walk on by.
"There are certain positives associated with our situation,"
the man smiled, revealing a mouthful of broken teeth.
"Our situation? Sorry, but I don't think we've met. Are you from the film crew? Listen, I need Nelly. Can you go get help and Nelly now?"
"Try to relax, mate. All in good time."
"I can't relax. I'm injured. Look at this leg. I need an ambulance."
"Nothing."
"Well, at the very least, can I borrow your cell phone, please?"
The man stood there, a patient look on his face, like he was waiting for Solomon to come to the right conclusion in his own time. Solomon fell back on a coping technique he used in tough social situations. Average height? Late 40s, reasonably well off, judging by the dated royal blue waistcoat and cravat. Once handsome. Sad eyes, though. He's not a gangster. He's either a gambler or a wide boy city trader.
"Bullshit,"
the man coughed into his fist.
"I'm sorry?"
"Nothing. You were saying?"
I wasn't saying anything."
"Course you wasn't."
"This has to be sunstroke, a hallucination."
"Nah, it's just ugly reality, I'm afraid," the man said, dropping down to sit cross-legged on the sand beside him, as if they were old university pals back at Oxford, sunbathing on the riverbank. "I missed the initial attack. Not much I could have done about it anyway, to be fair. I only get to use the body, and I wouldn't have stopped it even if I could."
"Big, were they?"
he asked amiably.